Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You might have wondered why I was praising and worshiping. Praise God. I'm trying to stir something in you. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about that, saying it's the fruit of our lips. Amen. Praise is the fruit of our lips. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. And so if you want more God, the thing that you're going to have to get used to is worshiping the Lord. And it can seem tough, especially if there's a smaller group, because you can sit there and think, well, if I'm not loud, you saw that. If one person isn't loud, or the one person who is, you can hear them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we want to be people that learn to praise God. And, you know, I've often said it this way, and I believe it with all my heart. If you won't praise him in church, you won't praise him out of church. And praising God is how we get through the situation. It's how we get out. So many people are going to God in prayer, and prayer is not always the answer. I said prayer is not always the answer. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is what most people think of as prayer. I'm not talking about prayer in general. Praise is actually a form of prayer. Amen. But what I'm saying is, what most people think is prayer is when you're in need, you go to God and ask him. And sometimes that's not the answer. A lot of times that's not the answer. A lot of times the answer is to go to God and praise him. I said the answer is to go to God and praise him, because if you praise God, then you can see things turn around faster in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we want to be people that receive all that God has for us. Glory to God, both here and after. Amen. Because everything in our lives is attached to someone and something else. Amen. I said everything in your life is attached to someone and something else. Is it not? Have you not found that in life? I mean, if you work a job, why do you go spend hours a week at a job that you might not necessarily love, but you need income? Amen. There's things that are attached to that job, and that's why you do those things that you might not necessarily want to do, right? Yep. Praise the Lord. And so, why do we pay our bills? Or try to pay them on time? Well, because there's things that are attached to that. Amen. And so we understand that there's things attached to everything in our life. Amen. And so we need to be in the fullness of what God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because here's the thing. If you're not walking in, I remember one time when I was I was a younger Christian, and I got to spend some time with a pastor, and he, a pastor friend of mine, we were talking, and I said, you know, I said, I don't care to ever have a lot of money or anything like that. And I thought, I thought that was a humble place. I genuinely thought that way. And he rebuked me for that. Praise the Lord. Because here's the thing. I may not necessarily require a lot of money for myself, but I can think of an awful lot of church buildings that could be paid off. Praise the Lord. I can think of an awful lot of Bibles that could be sent out, an awful lot of missionaries that could use an extra 10 bucks or an extra 100 bucks or an extra $1 million, whatever it is. And so this is what we have to understand, is that whatever we're called to do, we need a supply to do it. And so we shouldn't shun the supply. We shouldn't shun those things that God has for us. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Amen. Glory to God. And it happens to tie right in with what I'm preaching tonight. Tonight's message is just simply called Expectations. Amen. Expectations. Wow, I love it. See, I got to use shorter words because it's big and bold like that. When we put up, we got expectations, big expectations. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what we're in tonight. We're going to be talking about expectations and what the ones that we should have. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be talking about my expectations for you or your expectations for me. Amen. But we're going to be talking about our expectations for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you should have expectations. You should be expecting God for something. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In preparing this, I wrote a few things down and wanted to share with you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith is what is supposed to separate us from the world. When people look at Christians, what they should see is something different. And the problem with a lot of times is that when the world sees Christians, they don't see something different. They hear something different. I said they don't see something different. They hear something different. Well, Christians can sometimes talk a big game, can't we? Praise the Lord. We can say it. We can quote scriptures. We can say good churchy Christianese lingo. Amen. We can know the right things to say. In fact, I've heard it. Praise the Lord. I've had people come up to me, and I know that they're wrapped up in sin, and they have just the right things to say. Does it change my understanding? No, it doesn't change my understanding at all. But what it shows you is that they know that by saying things a certain way that they can get through. I've had people sit with me in counseling and sit there and even quote scripture. Praise the Lord. But they're not sitting there with me in counseling because they don't need it. Right. Amen. And so I don't need to know what they know. They need to know what I know. Praise the Lord. And so we need, and the same thing goes, is we need to know what God knows. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as Christians, we can say the right thing. We can sometimes make it look like the right thing. I've heard about Christians. You know, they can make it look good for a while. They can serve in the church and do all these wonderful things, but then they're out, you know, sleeping around, or they're out doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Out in the bars and stuff like that. But then when they're at church, man, they dress up. They make it look good. Somebody recently said to me, they were talking about somebody, and I took it with a grain of salt, but it does bring up a point. I was talking to somebody, I met a family member of somebody in the church, and they said, you know the person that you see on Sundays, I know the person that's the rest of the week. And I was like, ooh, that's, you know, we need to make sure that we are portraying the right thing. Praise the Lord. But the world often sees a different a Christian than what they see and hear two different Christians. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we don't want to do that. But faith is what's supposed to separate us from the world. Praise God. And most important, when I say faith, I don't mean our religion. I don't mean that I just believe in God. I don't mean that stuff, but how we live our lives. And we're going to see that tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith is a tangible thing. It is what is meant to define us as Christians. Faith is tangible. Faith is not something that is just this idea. It's not just this, this thing that we talk about. It's tangible. Faith is something that we can grab hold of. Faith is something that we can feel. Faith is something that we can use. It's the very power of God. Faith is something that should motivate us and move us. Amen. Glory to God. Faith is not just all, I believe in God, or I believe in this, you know, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a whatever. And faith isn't those things. Amen. Faith is what we believe from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is what is meant to define us. But so often Christians are not defined by their faith. They're defined by their similarity or similitude with the world, because they look like the world. They act like the world. Praise the Lord. And this is not meant to be so. Amen. Faith is simply put your expectations of God. That's what faith is. And so we have to understand that God is, He has created us, and the Bible often calls it hope. But we know when we translate that word hope, it doesn't just mean hope like, oh, I hope something will happen, but it means expectation, an expectant hope, amen? And that something is going to happen, amen? Now, we can blindly say, well, I have expectation for today. Something is going to happen today, right? Praise the Lord. We can say something is going to happen today. I don't know whether it's going to be good. I don't know whether it's going to be bad. So see, Pastor Jeff, I have expectations. That's not what we're talking about. We need to have the right expectations. Amen. Because God moves in that place of our expectations. In fact, the Bible tells us that He will do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all He will do exceedingly abundantly above what we expect. Praise the Lord. Another place in Scripture, it tells us that He will do as we have said, as we have spoken in His ear. And so if we don't have big expectations, how are we going to expect God to move big? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in a Scripture you're probably familiar with. I'm sure you've heard it once or twice before. It's called Jeremiah 29:11. Praise the Lord, but I'm going to pull it up in the Amplified Version. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it says here, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome," or to give you expectation in your final outcome. Amen. There are things that God wants us to have certain expectations. God wants us to wake up every day with certain expectations. Amen. You know, expectations are something that I've been learning a lot about. You know, Lord has done wonderful things in my life. Glory to God. He continues to. But you know, one of those things is one of the things is I'm always learning. Amen. Recently, I was able to get, you know, the Lord blessed me with something that I desired. He blessed me with the desire of my heart. Amen. And I remember for like the first week that I had this thing, and it was just something that might not bless anyone else, but it was a big blessing to me. And for the entire first week that I had this thing, I almost had this feeling like I was almost expecting that at any point somebody was going to come and take it from me. I mean, that was in the background, you know what I mean? And the Lord was showing me something through this. Here God gave me something. It was something that He intended for me to have. He in miraculous ways moved and so I could obtain this thing. And through that, my expectation was that it was going to be taken away from me. How many know that's the wrong expectation? We don't want to be expecting that we're going to lose things. We need to be expecting good things. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, of course, tells us that. He starts off by telling us, "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you." That's a pretty major thing. So God has thoughts and plans. He says, "I know it." God knows it. God isn't confused by His thoughts and plans for you. He isn't confused. He doesn't have a lack of knowing, but God knows it. And so, you know, have you ever said to somebody, "If you only knew what I knew," or have you ever heard that? When we use those expressions, in times where we really want somebody to get something to them. Like, have you ever looked at your child and you're like, "If you only knew how I really truly felt about you. You wouldn't question me if you only knew." And see, this is the same thing that God's telling us here. He said, "If you only knew," because I know. He's like, "I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. I know it. I want you to know it." And then He goes on and tells us that. Amen. He says, "Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not of evil." And so I get tripped up in my mind sometimes when I hear Christians that talk opposite of this, or people that call themselves believers and they talk opposite of this. I think, "Well, oh, God put this sickness on me. He was trying to teach me a lesson." No, God told us here that He had thoughts and plans, and those plans were not of good and not of evil, to give us an expectation. See, so many people think that God is the one who is taking life from people. How would that work into the scripture? How would God, if God was the remover of life, how would that work into a good plan for you? To give you hope in your final outcome. To give you expectation in your final outcome. He is not talking about an expectation of death. Amen? But if you believe about God what most Christians believe about God, that's exactly what you believe. Is that in the end you die. Well, of course, you believe you go to heaven. But see, people believe that God is snuffing life out. Jesus said, "I have come to, that they may have life and have it more abundantly." God isn't snuffing life out. He doesn't remove life. In fact, the Bible calls death the last enemy. So if death is the last enemy, and Jesus said that you can't, a house divided against itself cannot stand, then you tell me, how could God be doling out death as part of an expectation? And see, as we for good things, amen? He couldn't, and it doesn't make sense. But see, this is why people don't believe the word. Oh, it was His time to go. See, it doesn't work that way. God isn't just saying, you know, when people use this, it's so crazy. You know, you'll take somebody who, like, maybe smoked all their life, and then they get cancer, lung cancer. You know, and we know that smoking causes lung cancer. But so you take somebody, and they may be a good Christian, but just caught up into that, you know. But say there's a person smoked their whole life, and then they got lung cancer. And then they died from it. Well, it was just their time to go. God just wanted to take them. It was their time. It doesn't make any sense. God didn't give them the cancer. They gave themselves the cancer by smoking. And you understand what I'm saying. See, we have to understand that God isn't up there manipulating every single little thing we do. It's foolishness, and it's completely unscriptural to think that way. But see, what we have to do is we have to change that thinking in our mind. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, knowing that we have to change the way we thought before, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you," says the Lord. If you only knew, child of God, my child of mine, He would say, if you only knew what I have for you, you wouldn't question me. If you only knew what I wanted to do in your life, you wouldn't question me. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus had a moment like this when he was on earth. The Bible talks about it. I always love this account, but where Jesus wept over Jerusalem when he was looking down and he said, if you had only known the time of your visitation. He wept over it. He said, here I am your king and I've come to save you. I've come to redeem you. I've come to set you free. I'm the Messiah that you've been longing for. If you only knew. God's still doing that. He's still saying that. He's saying, Christians, we have to know. We have to know. You have to know who I am. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And plans for welfare and peace and not of evil. You know that word welfare has kind of got a bad rap, in our nation. Yeah. But welfare simply means to be taken care of, to take care of you. That's what God intends. He wants to take care of us in every area of our lives. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If it's in the plan of God, there should be expectation. If you are not in expectation, you need to ask yourself what the plan is. If you don't know, if you are in the plan of God, you should have a level of expectation for your life. Certain things are just going to happen. And what I mean by this is an expectation of good. We need to have an expectation of good. We need to reflect on Jeremiah 20:11 and have, because he said it, not because Pastor Jeff said it, not because Family Church teaches this doctrine, because Jeremiah prophesied it from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He prophesied it saying, God knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for us. There needs to be an expectation of good. I have a certain expectation. Now, in general, you know, that one thing, that's not the way I generally am. But more and more so lately, God has really been increasing me in that area of expecting good things. Amen? I don't get surprised by good things happening in my life anymore. In fact, we need to expect it more. Why? Because God, that's what God wants to do. He's trying to do good things in our life. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. If you are not in expectation, you need to ask yourself, am I even in the plan? Praise God. Because if you are in the plan, then you and if you don't know, then you need to find out, you need to get in the plan so you can have expectation. Amen? Praise the Lord. You say, well, how do I know if I'm in the plan of God? Well, the first thing is, do you go to church? If you go to church, praise God, and you're where God has planted you, or you're planted where God has put you, amen. If you're planted there, if you choose to plant there, then that's the first step in that plan of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you've done that much, you're off to a good start. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you get into the Word and you start studying, you seek God on your own, you're getting into that plan. God reveals things to us as we go. Amen. He always does because he loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If it's in the plan of God, there should be expectation. We have to understand. And why is this important? I want to think about our lives. If God is what I was saying, like I was saying earlier, if God is calling you to do something, he has also promised to supply it. Amen. And so you say, well, supply it with what? Whatever is needed to do the thing God has called you to do. Whatever is needed. You don't have to put a limitation on it by saying it's only money or it's only people or it's only this or only that. No, it's none of those things. It's whatever is needed. Praise God. Maybe it's all those things. Maybe it's those things times a million more. Well, then praise the Lord. If it's in the plan, then God supplied it. Amen. We have to have an expectation of good. Why? Because Jeremiah told us that God has a good plan for us, a plan not to harm us, praise the Lord. So if something bad happens, we have to understand, first of all, that is not the plan of God. God is not harming us. He is not sending things our way to remove from us. Now, our faith will be tested at times. But we are shown through Scripture, we're shown that God is not the tempter. He is not the tester. Amen. He will allow us to go through, but he always provides an escape for us. Amen. It's the devil who pushes against us and tries us. And sometimes he gives them a little bit of slack just to see if you're going to put up with it. Amen. Are you going to stand in your word? Because listen, faith that's not tested is no faith at all. How can I say that? Well, because if your faith is never tested, you could have the greatest faith on earth. I know a Christian, praise the Lord, who was born into a wealthy family. Yeah, hallelujah, born into a wealthy family. They like to talk about, this Christian loves to talk about having faith for finances. They don't know anything about faith or finances. Why? Because they were born into wealth. If you've never been tested, you don't know how to believe God for anything. Just because it's there doesn't mean you did something spectacular to get it. Amen. And so we have to understand that. But God wants a supply for us. But we have to understand that we're best if we're tested. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Romans 16. Romans 1:16. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. First, we're going to go in the standard version, New King James Version, and then we'll go into we'll look at it in the Amplified. Amen. So Romans 1:16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Well, he goes on to say, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is why we're not ashamed of it. This is why we stand on it. It's the power of God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, for in the gospel, right, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, praise the Lord. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what do we see here? If you are going to be just, and the Bible calls us to be just, right? Is there anyone who deny that? The Bible calls us to live just, praise the Lord. Not praise God, hallelujah. The Bible calls us to live just. And so the Bible says here that the just will live or shall live by faith. Amen. Glory to God. What is that? It's living by expectation. Expectation for good. It's believing God that God is going to do things. He's going to work those things out in your life. I love this. I want to look at this. I don't want to spend too much time in the regular. I want to go to the Amplified because I think it pulls it out. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. In quotation marks, good news. Literally, the gospel, the words of the gospel mean good news. The Lord named his book the good news. The Lord named his book the good news. When he says it's a good news, I'm not, you remember, well, praise the Lord, I was going to get the Gary Ganoos. You remember him? Gary Ganoo? It was all the news. It's good news by Gary Ganoo. You don't remember that? Praise the Lord. Great Space Coaster back in the day. It was one of my favorite shows. Well, praise the Lord. But we're not talking about that. But we're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The good news is God has done something for us. Amen. That we couldn't obtain. And praise the Lord. And through that, he's going to change all humanity. Through us, he's going to change all humanity. It's a wonderful thing. It's called the good news. See, we say the gospel of John, the gospel of Mark, the gospel. We could say the gospel. See, that's one of those good churchy words that we have in our vocabulary, right? Oh, the gospel. Preaching the gospel. What are you doing? You're preaching the good news. The good news. There's good things. God's got good things for you. You need to have expectation of good things. Why? Because the good news tells you that you will have good things because a good God only gives good things. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and a firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those are important parts there. To everyone who believes with a personal trust, a confident surrender, and a firm reliance. My friends, you cannot have any of these things without expectation. If you don't expect God for good things, if you don't expect God's going to do good things, if you don't expect God wants to do things, good things, listen, I don't know where you live. But I remember where I lived, and I lived in this poverty mindset. And when I say poverty mindset, I'm not just talking about being broke. But I just meant this poverty, it meant always being without. That was a poverty mindset. I had actually surrendered myself, and that's when I had spoke those things to that minister. That's where I was speaking, was from that old nature that I came out of. Amen. I was speaking out of that old nature, which says that nothing was going to work out, that I was never going to have what I need. I was just going to eke through life. I was just going to barely get by and maybe make it to the end. And at that day, when God pulled the plug, it was all over. I go be with him. Well, that doesn't sound like good news to me. Is there anybody here that signed up for that good news? If anyone, if you came into, say you came, you know those, you got those street vendors, right? You ever seen a street vendor? Say you had a street vendor up there talking. They say, hey, come here. I got some good news for you. I got great. In fact, I had car salesmen do that to me. I got good news for you. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Praise the Lord. Because whenever a car salesman says, I got good news, it's not really good news. It just means good news for them. That's what they're talking about. They didn't say that part. Well, praise the Lord. But somebody call you up and say, "Hey, I've got it for you here. All I want you to do is you're gonna give me $1,000. Not me. I'm talking to this street vendor. You're gonna give me $1,000, and I'm gonna give you cancer. I'm gonna have some thieves break into your house. I'm gonna make it so you can't walk very good, so you can't breathe very good. I'm gonna make it so you're weak and you go without, and then on top of that, I'm gonna have some people hate you too. Does that sound like very good news? No, you probably wouldn't stick around too much. You certainly wouldn't pay for that. But that's what a lot of people signed up for in Christianity. This idea that God, now listen, there is persecution. The Bible does tell us that there would be persecution, but not from God. You don't persecute the ones that you're trying to have do your work. Listen, can you imagine? Like my son Caleb comes and mows the lawn here at the church, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for Caleb coming mowing the lawn. Caleb comes down and mows the lawn. Can you imagine if I sent him down here to mow the lawn and then I sat up on the hill with a BB gun and every time he passed by me, I shot at him with the BB gun. You know what I mean? Like I was aiming for his head though. You know what I mean? It wouldn't kill him. But it was just, it would hurt him, right? Amen. Or I start throwing rocks at him. Would that be useful for me? What would he do? Probably the back end or at least out of my reach or as far as I could throw. He'd probably mow up to that point and wouldn't come any closer. So half the lawn or more would get, wouldn't even get, you know. Praise the Lord. Imagine having some builders come to your house. You're going to have, I need a new roof put on my house. Praise the Lord. So I call up some roofers, and they come up, and the roofers start climbing up and down the ladder, and I go out there, and I start kicking the ladder out from under them. Yeah, right? Isn't that what a sane person does? Right? You want to get that stuff on the roof, but where's you can kick the ladder out? Amen? Or I go, and when they're there over, they went home overnight, I cut their ladders in half so they couldn't reach the top of the roof. Yeah, how about that? See, people think this way of God, though. They think that God has, you know, the Bible has lots of, is there anyone who has not realized in here yet that God has instruction for us? Does God have things for us to do in this life? Is the lost and dying world going to be reached by anyone but us? No. So why do we think that God's cutting our ladder short? People always are thinking that God's cutting my ladder short. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Listen, if something bad happens to you and you say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? First of all, you need a wake-up call. And the second thing you need to get is slapped upside the head because you're a fool. Yeah. God is not cutting your ladder short. God is doing everything to help us do the work he's called us to do. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a lot of Christians that don't even seek God. They're not even doing the work that he's called them to do. They're doing their own thing. And then they're saying, Lord, give me a bigger ladder to reach the top. And he's like, I'm not going to help you destroy your own life. Follow me. Jesus didn't tell them. He didn't tell them. He said, hey, come over here, believe in me, and then go out and do whatever you want to do. Did he tell any of the disciples that? Well, guess what? He's not doing it today either. But God wants us to have expectations of good in his plan. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love that analogy. That just came to me. But about cutting the ladder short. You wouldn't cut someone's ladder short. You'd be like, well, here you go. You know, jump the rest of the way. Throw the shingles up there. It's foolishness to think that. And yet people think that of God all the time. They think he's cutting their ladder short. God ain't cutting your ladder short. Glory to God. Well, it goes on to say, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. What's it say? Righteousness literally is right living or a person living as they should be living. In other words, living the life that God intended them to live. So if we look at it that way, for in the gospel, in the good news, a person living the way that God intended, right? Praise the Lord, is revealed. Yeah. Both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. That's maybe, that just became one of my, praise the Lord, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. Glory to God. That's so awesome. God has intended us to live by the way of faith. Praise God. What is the way of faith? Does anyone know? Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus is the way, right? And if the just live by faith, then the way of Jesus must be the way of faith. If the just live by faith and Jesus is the way, then the way of faith, praise the Lord, then the way of Jesus must be the way of faith. The way that Jesus lived. How did Jesus live? Well, this is a problem when people think about the life of Jesus. I remember one time I did a little poll when I was first serving God and stuff like that. When I worked in that factory, I went around and talked to different people I knew were from different denominations or whatever. And I just asked them, I was like, based on the way you were raised and your faith, it was like, what do you know about Jesus? Was he poor or rich? Well, there's some people who say, I think he was rich. But overwhelmingly, a lot of people say he was poor. Although the Bible does not tell us that he was poor. You said, but Pastor Jeff, there's a scripture that says, for our sakes he became poor. Yeah, but it goes on to say that through his poverty you may be made rich. Yeah, people cut that out. See, you got to understand what it's talking about there. Jesus went from being in heaven with God, where there's abundance, where everything is there, there's no opposition, praise the Lord, and he was God, to coming and living as a man who has to live by faith. Praise God. That is a transition into poverty, I'm just going to tell you. Amen? But that doesn't mean that everything Jesus did, Jesus wasn't a pauper. How do we know this? Well, the Bible talks about women that went around supplying his ministry. The Bible talks about he had a treasurer. Listen, I haven't met any company yet that is like bankrupt that is looking to find a treasurer. Right. Amen. Or any organization. I don't need a treasurer for my house yet. Right. Praise the Lord. Why do you? Yeah, I will. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Why does someone need a treasurer? Why does somebody need a keeper of the money? Right? Praise the Lord. Because if you didn't have any, you wouldn't need one, right? Jesus wasn't, we'll just give somebody another job. This isn't city workers, right? Praise God. Praise the Lord for city workers, but we all know. You know what I mean? We all know you're driving down the street, the road workers, you know what I mean? And they're busy doing stuff. I'm not talking bad about road workers. We love road workers. But you know what I'm talking about. Jesus wasn't just looking for someone to hold up a shovel. You know what I'm saying? Jesus had purpose in what he did. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everywhere he went, there was supply for him. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a supply for him. Everywhere. That doesn't sound like poverty to me. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. So the way of Jesus must be the way of faith. And if the way of Jesus is the way of faith, and we are to be just, and we are to live by faith, then we have to figure that we must live the way that Jesus lived. In faith in God. How did Jesus live? Expectation. Nobody brought him a question and he was perplexed. He always knew what to do. Why? He spent time with the Father. He knew what to do. Jesus always knew what he was going to do next. Why? Because he spent time with the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So why don't we turn here to, let's turn to Hebrews. I'm using a lot of Amplified today, but that's okay. I like the Amplified because I like how it brings it out. To give us that deeper understanding of the scripture, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:1, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified. You can follow along in the regular version. Praise God, hallelujah. It says here, now faith is, that's how it starts off. I love that. You could stop right there. Now faith is. Now, this is a little bit of a twist on this scripture, but I can back this up with other scripture. This is the theme of what scripture is talking about. Now, faith is. Now. It's always now. Faith is now. It's what I need now. It's there. Praise the Lord. It's expectation. That's what faith is. Now, faith is. What is it? It's the assurance. It is the confirmation, the title deed, That's assurance, right? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been trying to sell my truck. We just found out recently that they never issued us a title for the truck. Had the truck almost 2 years, and they've never issued us a title. Well, guess what? Without a title, you can't sell it. Apparently, you're allowed to register it. You're allowed to insure it. You're allowed to drive it. But without a title, you can't sell it. That's a problem if you're trying to sell it. Amen? If you need the money, praise the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. So we've been going through all this rigmarole trying to figure out how to get the title. And nobody wants to really give us clear answers about why we're not getting our title. And now we're finally just getting to the bottom of it. But it is the title is the proof that you own it. Yes. Amen? Now, if you buy a vehicle and you get a loan on it, guess what? Your name gets put on the title, but there's also a line on there that the bank that gave you the money also goes on there, and you can't sell that until they give you something that's called a lien release, amen? And once you have a lien release, then you can sell that and do whatever you want with it. But until you have that lien release, you can't do it. Why? Because the title also belongs to them, amen? They're on the title. Well, the Bible tells us here that that faith is the title deed. Faith is the assurance. Faith, what is that? Why would a bank be willing to give you whatever it costs to buy your vehicle? Not your good faith, not because they like you, not because you're a friend. They give it to you because they get their name on the title. They get the assurance that if you don't pay, they get the vehicle. Amen? That's what it is. The title, it's the proof, it's the assurance, it's the expectation. The bank has expectation that if you don't pay, they at least get the vehicle. And so they don't mind you lending you the money because then that backs it up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, for us, faith has been given to us. It is the title that says something that, oh, praise God. Listen to me. Faith is the title. It is the proof that God will do what he said he will do. It's the expectation. It's the expectation that we're supposed to have. What is your faith? If you expect bad things from God, then your expectation is in the wrong area. And you are not receiving the right thing. Amen? Glory to God. Hey, I can go down to the Chevy dealership and look at a brand new Corvette. I think I saw one recently at some dealership that was like 70 grand or something like that. Yeah, amen? Praise the Lord, I haven't yet spent 70 grand on a vehicle, but they have them down there. Glory to God. Well, if I go down there and say, I'm going to drive this vehicle out of here, and they say, well, you can't do that. Well, why not? Because you don't own it. Well, I've got a title right here. Okay, let me see that title. They look at the title. They say, this isn't a title for a Corvette. This is a title for a Yugo. You remember what a Yugo is? Praise the Lord, if you don't know what it is. This is a title for a Ford Fiesta. This is a title for a smart car. Amen? This is not a title for the Corvette. You can't take this. Well, but it's a no, you have to have a title for the right thing. So if faith is a title, where's your title? What's your title say you own? Praise God. Is your title saying that you own the broken down jalopy in the backyard that nobody wants, that you can't give away? You ever had a vehicle like that? I had a vehicle like that once. I got $35 out. I had a junk vehicle. It was 1982 Chevette. I sold it for $35 with no brakes, and there was like nastiness in the back seat. Praise the Lord. They didn't care. It was $35. They could junk it and got more than that. Amen? Yeah. But even in the junkyard, you got to have a title. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But what's your title say about you? Amen? My title says that I'm a child of the living God. And if my title says that, then I have to have expectations accordingly. Amen? Praise the Lord. If I have the title to something, I don't question whether or not I can drive it. Right. Amen? No, we got vehicles at my house. We got a whole bunch of vehicles at our house, right? Because we got kids that are driving now and all that stuff. And so we look like a used car lot at home. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can pretty much drive any vehicle in the lot or the driveway. Amen. See, I just call it a lot. But, you know, not everybody in there can. My son, if he wants to drive my vehicle, what's he got to do? He's got to ask me. Why? He's not entitled to just take it anytime. But I didn't ask my wife when I went and got it in my vehicle to come to church tonight. I didn't ask her if I could drive it. Why? Because I'm alive. That's part of what I'm entitled to. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see it's an expectation. Amen? It's the confirmation. It's the assurance of things that we hope for or expect. So it's the assurance of the things that we expect. Amen? Being the proof of things we do not see. and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. This is where so many Christians lose it, because they're like, I don't see it, so therefore I don't have it. But God says that you have all the supply that you will need if you follow Him. So what does that mean? I have all the supply I need. It doesn't matter if I see it. It doesn't matter if I feel it. It doesn't matter if I can tangibly go touch it. I don't need to do any of that, because I have the title that says that it's mine. Praise the Lord. I have the title that says these things are mine. So listen, I have an expectation to the things that we can have. We need to have expectation of God. And not expectation for bad things, but expectation of good things. Whatever God has. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And remember, God doesn't sell short ladders. Right? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. We'll read through verse 10. Look at what it says here. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. It's a question. Whoever goes to war at their own expense. I guess I read that not in the form of a question, but you get what they're asking. Who goes to war at their own expense? What soldier has to go pay for his tank? What soldier? What soldier has to pay for the missiles or the bullets that they shoot out of a gun? Who goes to war at their own expense? It would be foolishness to think that you would send somebody to war at their own expense, right? Amen. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Wow. Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? In other words, if you're doing the work, you're entitled to something. If you're following God, there is an entitlement that you need to have. There is an expectation that you need to have. Now, then he goes on to say, do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? And in case you don't know what the answer is, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of this hope. In other words, if you're doing the work, if you're doing what God has called you to do, you should have an expectation that God is going to take care of you, because you don't war at your expense. If you've worked in the vineyard, then you should eat of its fruit. If you've shepherded the flock, then you get to partake of what the flock produces. Glory to God. I'm not even going to get into some of the teaching, what this is really talking about. Because in all honesty, well, I'll tell you a little bit, this is talking about ministers. This is why I don't think that it's a good idea people just go out and attack all these ministers. You know, they see these ministers, big. You might have seen some on TV recently, big ministers that are getting, you know, this and that. They're having all this, you know, people coming in, you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have that. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know what they've been doing, and I'm not going to sit there and judge them, because that's between them and God. But I'm just going to tell you right now, the Bible says that we should partake. In hope, we should know that whatever we do, there's an expectation at the end of it for good things for us. Amen? And if you've been sowing into people's lives, then you have to expect that God is going to bring it back. Why? Because the Bible stinking says so. Amen? The Bible says that if you sow, you reap. That's what it says. There's no way around that. It says if you reap good things or sow good things, you will reap good things. Period. Period. It applies to you and it applies to me. Actually, a friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, and I were recently talking. And we were talking about, because I'll tell you what, I've reaped more as a pastor than I ever did before. And I'll explain why. The Lord showed me why. I was talking to this friend of mine who is also a minister. And I said, but here's the thing. Because generally in the church, who are the most sold out to the work of the Lord? It's the pastor. Yeah. The pastor has to get everybody caught up to speed. Now listen, I'm not saying you're a bad person. Well, there's a progression. We all have to learn it. When I started off, I wasn't excited about the church lawn. When we first started off, I didn't care if the place was painted. When we first started off, I didn't care if we had this decor or that decor. I didn't care how the church looked, but somebody was. Praise the Lord. I didn't care if we had all the outreaches and stuff like that. In fact, I sat there questioning it. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. That's where I was. Why was I not walking in the fullness of God? Because I wasn't acting in the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. But those who do, those who serve God, those who give their all to God, those who give up vacations to go to, to go to meetings, special meetings and stuff like that, those will be people that get blessed by God. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. It's the way that it is. Amen. Glory to God. And so what we see is we start to understand that generally speaking, now I'm not saying this is every church everywhere, but the ministers that I know are the most sold out to the plan of God, and so much so that they've offered their entire life for it. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can all choose not to come here tonight. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I can't. Not if there's going to be a church that remains. Right. If I don't show up, there's no church. Listen, every single other person could not show up here tonight, but if I'm not here, there's no church. Why? Because there's no pastor. And with no pastor, you can't have sheep. Without a shepherd, you can't have sheep. Period. Amen? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. So we start to understand. We can start to understand things. Now, that does not mean that ministers are the only ones that should be blessed. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because anybody can obtain, if you follow the plan of God fully for your life, you'll be just as blessed, if not more, than anyone else. There is no level on it. I'm just saying that God has rules. He says, if you sow this much, you will reap this much. Period. So if you sow to spiritual things, you will reap natural things. Amen? Praise the Lord. We understand that that's the way it works. And so it doesn't matter whether you're cleaning the toilets, washing the floors. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. I want to pull up Proverbs 11:23, just because I thought this was really interesting. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The desire of the righteous is only good. What are the desires in your life? What is good? I mean, the Bible, we're going to get into this in a minute. The Bible tells us what is good. But there's a lot of things that are good. The desire of the righteous is only good. It's not bad. This is why Christians get tripped up when they start looking at what other people have and start getting offended because someone else has something. Why? Because that ain't good. Your desire is now become wicked because you're desiring to have what someone else has. That's called coveting, and it's called wicked. And the expectation of the wicked, or the thing that the wicked can expect, is wrath, bad things. They don't expect good things. So if we are Christians who are acting wickedly, then we are going to have what wicked produces. You understand? But the good news is, everybody say good news, because we're preaching the good news, right? The good news is that if we desire good things, what do? When I hear of a brother or sister getting blessed with something they've wanted or desired, you know what I do? Woohoo! Yippee! I get excited with you. Why? Because I rejoice that God is giving you and doing in you the same things He's doing me. Amen? And I know that, praise God, I don't get it. Why do I not get? See, people who look into other people's vineyards and want what they have and are jealous are people that don't have expectation of God. Because you're expecting that somebody else. This is why socialism is a bunch of garbage. Yeah, because it's always looking at what everybody else has. Well, you don't deserve that. I deserve more. No, if you just trust God, He'll give you everything you need and more. Why? Because the Bible says He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. So, well, praise God. Hallelujah. So what is good? I know you want to know, right? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 12. Glory, hallelujah. Christians, we need to expect good. Why? Because the desire of the righteous is only good. I don't desire bad things, do you? I don't want to desire bad things for someone else. My greatest joy as a pastor, I'm telling you honestly, you could believe me or not, it doesn't matter, but my greatest joy as a pastor is when somebody comes up to me and says, the word that you preach put this into my life. Yeah. Why? Because it's good. It's so good. This is exactly what my relationship, this is why I love my pastor so much. I don't have to like my pastor. I do like him, but I don't have to like him. I don't have to like his, I don't have to prefer his teaching style or this or that. I'm not saying I don't like these things, but I'm just saying none of that stuff matters because who God has connected me with is where I'm blessed. Amen. And I see that over and over and over again. Amen. Praise God. Romans 12:1. Scriptures, I'm sure, will not be unfamiliar to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, say, everybody say, I present my body, a living sacrifice. You present it. Yeah. God ain't making you. Yeah. Well, why does that Christian have this? Because they presented their body a living sacrifice. Yeah. God is not blessing Christians that don't present their bodies. Now, just because somebody's rich doesn't mean that they have been blessed by God. I've known a lot of people that are rich and they're not blessed by God. The blessing of the Lord, listen, there are natural things we can do to get rich. Listen, if you go and rob a bank, if you figured out a way to break into Fort Knox and steal all the gold that's in Fort Knox and not get caught, you're going to be rich. It wasn't God, and God didn't bless you with that. Amen. If you go rob a bank and you get away with it, you remember the case of D.B. Cooper? Anybody ever read that? I love those kind of stories and stuff. D.B. Cooper was that guy who hijacked a plane over in Washington State or Oregon or something like that, and he demanded so much money, and they brought the money, and he got in the plane, and then they got up in the air, and somewhere over the wilderness, he got up there, and he jumped out of the plane with the money, and they never found him or the money, found a little bit of the money, but they never caught him and never found the money. He got away with it, right? Because if nothing else, he's probably dead now. Even if he lived then, he's probably dead now, or he's close to it, but he got away with it. Amen. Was that the blessing of the Lord? No, absolutely not. You can get rich the natural ways, but it doesn't mean it's blessed. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's the first step. It's reasonable to present yourself, to sacrifice yourself for the kingdom of God. It's reasonable, praise the Lord, that I would come here on Saturday night, even though I'd rather sit home and watch TV or something like that. It's reasonable that I give up a nice weather day to study the word, praise the Lord. It's reasonable that we do these things. Why? Because we're doing a service to God. Look what it says. It says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is good? What is acceptable? What is perfect in the eyes of God? You want to know, right? The expectation of good. If you present your body as a living sacrifice, and you don't conform yourself, in other words, you don't do the same things that this world does, you do them the way the church is supposed to do them, then you will prove out what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect in God's will for you. It's an automatic. It happens. There are many Christians that never get into the step because they're conformed to this world. I heard a conversation today between, there's two ministers on a news thing, and they were debating this one thing. One was right and one was wrong. How do I know? Because one was following what the word says and the other one was saying that they could change the word. Do differently. That's not what the word says at all. It does say it. See, listen, the Bible is not that confusing. When the Bible says that something like homosexuality is wrong, it's wrong, period. You can't change that. Amen? It doesn't mean we hate people all this. You know, we go down the list. Listen, people's feelings will be hurt by things all the time. You know, but it sometimes it's good that they're hurt. Praise the Lord. We want to prove with this perfect will of God. When the church stopped focusing on God, it lost expectation for the miracles. This is, and this is one of the big things that we have to understand. When the church started conforming to the world and stopped transforming itself, when it stopped focusing on who God was, the church lost the expectation for the miracles. And what do we not see by and large in the church? Miracles. We see people praying for things, but you know, maybe it will happen or maybe it won't. What does the world see? They see a powerless church. That's why that in droves people are leaving the church. Once great religions, once great congregations had hundreds of people, why are they drying up? Because people stop focusing on God. When God is present, the miraculous is also present. There could be no other way. If God is present, you can't have the one who does miracles that everything stems from and comes out of. You can't have that one present, praise the Lord, and not have those things present. Why? Because you bring whatever you bring, amen? Is there anybody who's worked outside or anything and they're like, ooh, I better go shower? Why? Because when I'm present, I don't want to bring the stink that comes with me. Amen? You bring whatever is with you, right? Amen. Have you ever stepped in something? Amen? That a dog left outside and maybe you didn't realize it, but you got in your car and all of a sudden, I brought something in here with me. How do you know? You start checking your feet. Why? How do you know? Because you started smelling it. It's present. Amen? The same thing is with God. When God is present, whatever comes with God is there. Praise the Lord. So if God is present in the church, then there should be miracles in the church. If God is present in the church, there should be supply in the church. If God is present in your life, you should see answers to prayers. If you're not seeing answers to prayers, you got to question whether or not God is present. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to read this to you in the Amplified, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Glory. Hallelujah. This is exactly where God is bringing us to. God is bringing us to that place where we lay down, faith lays down what you think you know to reach for what He's offering. You need to have expectation of God. If your expectation of God is little, then all you're going to see is a little bit of God. But if your expectation of God is big, He's going to fulfill it. He's going to exceed it. He's going to go over it. He's going to go exceedingly abundantly over. Why? Because the Word tells us that. Amen? And so as Christians, this is what we need to do. This is your homework assignment, if you want to look at it that way. You're going to go into this week, praise the Lord, with some expectation. I'm expecting only good. If something bad comes, well, that ain't God. And so there's a supply for it. There's a way around it. God, thank you for it. I'm going to praise Him with my words. I'm going to praise Him with my lips. Praise God, because that shows where your believing is. That shows where your expectation is. Amen. See, when we get tripped up at the circumstances that pop up around us, then that's where our expectation is. Amen. How do I know? Because, you know, when if a two-year-old came up to me and said, I'm going to take you out, right? Would it scare me? Probably not. Amen? Now, if a guy that's, you know, 7 foot tall, a big muscle-bound guy came up, said, I'm going to take you out, am I going to be afraid? Probably not, because Josh is here. Amen? And Josh would get in the way, give me time to run. Amen? Praise the Lord. And John's here, too. Praise the Lord. And Mark. So I just put them out there. No, but we understand what I'm talking about, amen? So when trials arise in your life, if your expectation is God and what He will actually do, then there's no trial. Then you know there's no trial that can come against you that would be like, oh, wait, what is this? The Bible says that we are going to look at the devil and say, is this the one that made the nations tremble? Is this the one that scared all humanity? This guy? Really, him? That's what the Bible says we're going to do. We might as well just start today, folks. We've got a big God who wants to do big things in your little life. In your little, I don't mean little, it's your little life, yeah. Compared to God is little. But God wants to do big things in it. We have to have expectations. We have to expect God for good things. And we have to remind each other of these same things. Amen?